for these few Sundays that we've had this one. Appreciate y'all being here today. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Thank you.
Great singing. Thank you all. You may be seated. But before we get started and move any further, if I asked, just threw this out here to the audience, as it were, if you believe in the Holy Spirit power of conviction, would everybody assent to that? With that in mind, we need two nursery workers for the 11 o'clock hour. Yeah, I said it. All right. So, as the Spirit begins to move and the hands begin to rise, I'm looking for a couple of hands rising. Oh, we need you, ladies. Ladies. Okay, well, as the Spirit begins to move throughout the service, I'm sure we'll get a couple of hands. All right. Moving on, let's chew on something here, shall we? Okay, is that one decent? At least decent. Do I get how many out of 10? Oh, I see a thumbs up. Okay, all right, all right. Oh, boy. All right, let's move on. We do want to welcome our online guests. If you're joining us on the internet, we thank you for being here. Also, thank you folks for being here. And if you're visiting with us, we thank you for being here as well. We're going to go next to our mission slide, and you're going to see the mission slide is going to look a little bit different, so get ready for it. So pay attention. Look at the top. Miss Summer Scroggs is not in Africa. She's here in the U.S. Many of you have probably seen her. So she's having some health issues. Let's put it this way. If you want to know exactly what's going on, you go ask her. Other than that, we just need to pray for her with health issues. Is that good? Is that good enough? Okay. So I've got her highlighted in yellow, just to really grab our attention. She needs some prayer right now, okay? Notice also at the bottom, the Abbots are in Canada, and they will be there till, for about 6 or 7 weeks, I think, ministering in a church there, taking the place of a pastor who had to take a short sabbatical. So let's remember our missionaries. We've got some catch up to do on birthdays and anniversaries because we missed last week. So we got quite a list here. And I had to make the font a little bit smaller. Hopefully you can read that. I'm just going to read it off. So happy birthday to the following: Walter, Damon, Rose, Kim, Nancy, Larry, Angie, and Alan. There you go. So happy birthday to all you folks. Ooh, that was a mouthful. I tried to say that too fast. Any other birthdays? Did we miss anyone? Birthdays in the last 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks. Anyone? Or, I'm sorry, last week and this week. I messed that up, didn't I? All right. Anniversaries. Dale and Angie, 49. Is that right? Did I get the number right? 49. Happy anniversary. What about Rick and Nancy, 47? Is that right? So happy anniversary. Who will join these? Any other anniversaries? Oh, an anniversary, yes. 10. 10. Do I hear 11? No, just kidding, just kidding. Hey, 10, great. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Make sure we get that information in the church office, and I'll have you on the slide next year, okay? Any others? All right, happy anniversary, happy birthdays. What do we got next? Jeff Wills will be speaking for us today. The Foreigns are... he told me where they were. They're at a mission conference, but I don't remember where it is. Anyway, Foreigns will be back next week, but Jeff Wills will be speaking for us this morning. And we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians. So if you want to look in 2 Corinthians, and y'all know we've been talking about the Apostle Paul gathering up this offering for famine relief, and we're still going to be looking some at that this morning. Let me read up, while you're finding 2 Corinthians, let me read off the prayer list. And that's chapter 8, by the way. I didn't put that up there. All right. Brian Morlock with cognitive disorder. Madeline Depew with cancer. Lucille Wallace with COPD and AFib. And Lillian Constant with a heart procedure coming up. All right, so those are some. Okay, so that's a praise. All right, all right. Do they baptize in the river down there?
Yeah.
Do they? Okay. All right. Yeah. In the Pigeon River, I guess. Is that the one? Man, is there anybody, I'm just curious, is there anybody here who was baptized in a river or a lake or a creek or something like that? Yeah. I see some hands. Yeah. My parents were both baptized in that Doe River up in Carter County. So, yeah, that used to be a pretty common thing. If I'm not mistaken, it seems like there was a guy, what was his name? Oh, John the Baptist. He used to do that too. Yeah. Couldn't. All right. How could we forget John? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into 2 Corinthians. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you for the souls being saved down there in Sevier County. And we thank you for that you still are working amongst people. And we thank you for this class. And we have a lot of needs in this class. There's some people in here now that are hurting. There's some people here dealing with family issues. Some people here dealing with health issues. And we've read off several new ones of those. Miss Summer dealing with health issues. She's on our mission list. And we have our other missionaries. We've got the Abbots up in Canada. And we've got Maddie in Africa. And we've got the Carriers in South America down in Chile. And we just want to pray your blessings on them, and that you'll just provide for them and give them the support and the things that they need, and help them as they go through their ministry, and use them amongst the people that they're working with. And then our class members here, Lord, many of us are going through a lot of things. And sometimes some of the biggest things we're going through are the things that are left unsaid, those private things that we don't want to share with everyone, and that's fine, but you know about them. What we need to learn to seek the Lord with our whole heart and just be in your word every day, be in prayer every day, walking with the Lord, and understand that your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55 tells us that. And then we just have to seek you each day. So, Lord, help us all to do that. We want to be in your word every single day, in prayer every single day. And bless this class, and may this class be a profitable time. I pray for Brother Jeff as he's coming here in just a few minutes to speak to us. Speak through him. And I pray for the foreigners as they're away at a mission conference, that you'll just bless them and use them there. And we thank you for all you've done for us. We always want to be a people of thanks, a people of praise. You created this day, and you let us be a part of it. So bless our time here together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, moving on to, we don't need the map all that much, but I love maps, so I'm probably going to just keep it up here for a while anyway, as long as we're talking about the Apostle Paul. So we are going to be talking about Macedonia. And so just find Macedonia on there, that Macedonia area, and find Corinth. Paul's writing to the Corinthians, so he's writing to Corinth about the Macedonians. So that's what we'll be looking at. And so last week, I'm sorry, it was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? We looked at chapter 8, and we just, chapters 8 and 9 are chapters that Paul, and Paul didn't write chapters, okay, well that came later. Paul just sat down and wrote, but he spent what we would call two chapters writing about generosity and how to be a more generous person and the spiritual, practical implications of giving and becoming a more generous person. And that's what he's encouraging the Corinthians, but really all of us, because we are reading what he wrote to the Corinthians. He's encouraged all of us to be more generous and have generosity in our lives. And so that's the title of the slide, and that's really the whole point of this little section that we're going through. And so verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God." So we're just telling you about the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, we looked at that last time, and their deep poverty, that's probably what their trial was, the poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Notice that phrase there. Do you see that phrase, riches of their liberality? Meaning these people were in poverty, but yet they gave. They still were generous people. By the way, as we talk about giving and becoming a generous person, giving is not always money. There's other things we can give. And hopefully as we get more generosity into us and it comes out of us, it's not always just money. Sometimes time, spending time with someone who needs time more than money. There are people who need time more than money, need your time, my time. My wife is, she's so good at this. This past, I don't know, couple of weeks, I can't tell you how many times she has cooked a big meal, loaded it up, and taken it to somebody. Usually, I'm the pack mule, and I do a good job at that, and that's about it. That's about all I can do. I'm working a lot of hours right now, and I just hadn't had time. So these past couple of weeks, she's doing it by herself. She is a very generous person. So it's not always money. There's other ways we can be generous to other people, and that's what Paul is encouraging us with. So the riches of their liberality. Verse 3, for to their power what they were able to give. Now, man, this next phrase is going to blow you away. You ready for this one? For to their power I bear record. And by the way, that I bear record, little throwaway phrase, except Paul is saying, I was here and I saw it. I didn't hear about the Macedonians and their generosity. I'm here and I see it with my own eyes. I bear record. John uses that phrase a lot, bearing record. Read 1 John and you'll see that phrase in there a lot. Paul is saying, I bear record. I was there, I saw it. So to their power, now check this next phrase out, beyond their power. That's interesting. They gave beyond what they could give. It's kind of a weird way to put it. As I've thought about this, you know what I think is happening here? The Macedonian people had hearts of generosity. They gave out of that heart of generosity. And because they gave for the right motives, the right spirit, they weren't giving in order to get. They weren't giving in order to be seen and get the praise of men. Everything about their giving was correct and lined up correctly. Does that make sense? I believe God was taking what they gave. If they gave $100, he was making it as if they gave $200. He has a way of doing that, you know it? He has a way of doing that, multiplying. It's just, for to their power, that's what they could do, but beyond their power. Maybe that's the Lord's power coming in to the gift. So they obeyed the Lord, they were generous, and he multiplied what they gave. So they were, check that last phrase, they were willing. How many of us are willing? You know, that's a tough one, isn't it? Well, let's move on. Next verse. Verse 4, check this one out. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Let's stop right there. There's several things to unpack in this verse. The Macedonians were what kind of people financially and economically? Somebody tell me, what were they? Yeah, they were not well off. They were in poverty. And it says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. It's almost as if Paul felt bad about taking their offering. Is that how that reads to you? And they had the idea, praying us with much entreaty, the idea is begging. They were begging Paul to take the offering. And Paul almost didn't want to take it because he felt bad about it, because they didn't have much. And they were so insistent. These people were so generous. They were begging Paul to take the offering. Man, these Macedonian people, there was something different about them, wouldn't you say? I think we have some Macedonians even here amongst us, but I'm talking about this was the entire group of them. You just don't see that now, do you? I mean, as I look around, the Lovegroves are modern-day Macedonians. They wouldn't want me to say that. Oops, I said it. Let's rewind. I didn't say that. Modern-day Macedonians. Yeah, there are people who are generous. Hearts of generosity, outgiving to people all the time. But, man, these guys, they had something that I'm not sure that we have today. I'm not sure we have what the Macedonians had, but Paul is using them, the people in poverty, to encourage all of us to be generous. Isn't that just weird? Isn't that just weird? Who else could think of that but Paul? Well, let's take a look at another word. Entreaty that we should receive the gift. The Macedonians didn't consider this an offering. They didn't consider it an obligation. Paul didn't browbeat them and make them feel guilty and shameful until they gave. They considered it a gift. And who was this gift going to, by the way? These were Gentile churches in Macedonia. Who is this gift going to? Jews. That doesn't mean a lot to us today. I get it. Back then, that's a big deal, friends. Gentile churches who are in poverty giving to Jews, that just doesn't happen. That does not happen. What happened here to the Macedonians? There's something different about the Macedonians. They have something different than maybe we have. But you know what? We are encouraged by their example to start having generosity in us. And then once it's in us, it's going to come out. That's our goal here, is to look at how can we become more generous? How can we become more like the Macedonians? A lot to unpack in that verse, but we're going to stop right there. And it is time for the often imitated, fully venerated, but never duplicated. Jeff Wills, you're up.
This did not stay where it was supposed to. Well, good morning. Looking forward to teaching here today. I think I've tried twice now, and both times I ended up in the hospital, so the pastor was talking about what a miracle it was that I was here. So. He starts talking about tithing. I always don't know why my mind always goes to the widow lady as well. People that were super at tithing. You think about that. The Jews thought of the Gentiles, yet they gave to the Gentiles. I mean, the Jews. I thought it's miraculous to think about that. I want to talk to you about a couple things this morning. I want to start off by saying over in 1 Corinthians, it talks somewhere over there, and I think chapter 7, verse 32, 33. You don't have to go there, but you can look. Where it talks about a single person can take his life and he can devote it to the Lord. Where a married man, he devotes himself to the Lord, but he's anxious for his wife. And I've started thinking about that word, anxious, and I've heard it a few times last week, and then my wife used the word anxiety, which has a lot to do with that. She used that word a few times. They were talking about anxiety at work, and one of the men that have said he has a lot of anxiety. And I will just say this, the world turned upside down like it is, there's a lot of anxiety out there in the world, a lot of troubles. So to start off with, I'm going to show you something because that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm talking about it because we're and older folks might say, well, they don't have problems, but older folks do have problems because I'm an older person. So I know there's problems out there. We have children, we have grandchildren, we have friends, we have people at work, and a lot of those people have anxiety problems. And I want to talk about that, what the Bible talks about it. And also, I'll be honest with you, the pastor in the service this morning was almost referring to some of the very things I'm going to talk about. I want to ask you the question here. Here's a paper. Does anybody remember anybody ever showing them a white paper with a black dot in the middle? Has anybody ever had that done to them? And they say, what is this? And somebody will say, it's a black dot. A lot of people used to use this to say, okay, that's all you're a negative person if that's all you can see. You know, this represents negativity. It represents the person that's causing the trouble in the Sunday school class, and the teacher, all the efforts go straight to this person. And you'll see the whole white paper. Everybody just sees, hey, man, if you act up in school, you're going to be noticed. But that's not what this is. This is anxiety. This little dot here is going to represent anxiety this morning. And I'll raise it up a couple times. And what it is, I want you to know, all of us have anxiety. There's different levels of it. It's a natural thing. The husband's going to be anxious for his wife. And it's one of those natural things. Here's one when it really gets bad. Okay? I might raise this up here a couple times as well. When it really gets bad, that's what that is. And I'll try to bring that up to you if it stays up here. But I'm going to start off with just sharing a little humor. A reporter asked a woman this, why do you want to be a mortician? She looked at him kind of strangely and said, I like working with people. Okay? I guess she likes working with dead people. At least they don't give you a hard time. You know, they don't backtalk. They don't cause you any trouble. I know I used to be an x-ray tech, and the thing they taught us when we went in to become an x-ray tech was talk to them. They're a dead body laying there, and they can make you nervous, even though they're dead. And so you go in there and you get ready to take their picture, and you say, don't breathe, you know, like that. And you talk to them, and after a while, you just kind of get used to it. But I want to talk to you about anxiety. From 2005 to 2017, I was reading up on anxiety, a lot of things about anxiety. It has increased, during that time, 63%. Most of it, young people from the ages of 15 up to about 25. You know, these are people that are trying to get their lives straightened out. They're trying to make a career. They're trying to think of what to do. And they say anxiety levels in those folks has increased. But it also says it's increased at every age, every age. When you get older, you get grumpy. That is that old term, old and senile. You know, you get anxiety issues. I was watching a lady, you know, some of you know where I work. I was watching a guy wouldn't get out of his car, truck fast enough, and she was in the back and waiting for him. She's, hurry up, you know, and he didn't go any faster because he couldn't, but he was the only one strong enough to get a couple bags up over the lift. So anxiety is quite an issue. Now, some of you know, like I said, where I live, where I work, and I meet a lot of people with anxiety problems coming to work. My partner the other day came out of the truck. He's kind of new. He went over to a guy he didn't recognize, and he says, sir, do you know where all these things go? And he came out of a little booth, and he said this. He said, I know where to throw these. I've been coming here for a long time. Go back to your hole. And that's what he said. They say a lot of things to us that is There's a lot of people with a lot of issues that come in there, and you're just trying to make them throw things in the right place, and they're as rude and upset and fiery as can be. And when we're dealing with people like that, we have people in our families maybe like that, people at work like that. Some people just can't handle real life stress out there. They have health issues, there's the home life, and many other things bring along anxiety. High levels of academic and economic stress are taxing. Excuse me. Multitasking for some is very, very difficult. Anxiety is a normal human characteristic by feelings of worry, unease, and fear. And it says here it can range from mild to severe, and when in excess or persistent, we can call it anxiety disorder. Anxiety disorder is this, a case characterized by intense fear or worry or interference with daily life and routines. I have met people that just can't function in society. They have a really, really, really hard time. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The first order of business when you're dealing with someone with anxiety or when you're having a problem, when your day is not going well, when you start off, like I've done many times in my life, you start off saying, Lord, I just want to be close to you. I want to have a prayer life with you. I want to think about you. I want to be consistently in prayer. And then it gets about 12 o'clock at noon, and you say, man, I forgot all about God. I just left him out of my life. I say at noon, okay, Lord, I'm going to be a good prayer. I'm going to try to think about you. I'm going to try to do everything I can, the best I can for the glory of God, and say a couple Bible verses and talk to him a little bit. It gets to 6 o'clock, and I go, man, I forgot all about God. Because you get caught up in things in life. And when you get into things that are kind of stressful or somebody says something to you you don't like or something happens to you or something like that, a lot of times we just completely forget about God and we go from here to here. And when our wife's mad at us and we said something wrong and we shouldn't have said, we go from here to here. So it's stress levels. Stress levels. The first order of business when having a problem or when something's going on, you go, supposed to get alone with God, according to this, and pray. Get alone with God. Start talking to the Lord. And after you've done talking to him, the second order, I believe, is worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. You try to make your life filled up with the Lord. Because a lot of people are having a lot of trouble in life. They're dealing with a lot of things. There's a lot of craziness going on in politics. A lot of people seem to have anxiety disorders over the president of the United States. And so we deal with all kinds of different people. Broken homes, fighting, carrying on. Anxiety comes from everywhere. I want to see like I'm, King James does not use the word anxiety. You're not going to go in there and you're not going to find it unless you see the word anxious. But let me just say there's plenty of synonyms. The word trouble and heaviness and distress and cares fall under that category. When those things get heavy on your heart, they can cause you to not sleep well at night. I don't understand how come people don't sleep well at night. When night's over with, I go to bed and I go to sleep. My wife, she can stay up quite a bit through the night. There's always something on her mind. It's always going. And I don't quite understand that. Now, it's going to seem like I'm going to get off base for just a minute, but I want to, this was in the study that I read. For decades now, since I've been alive, and since I was probably in high school at 17 and 18 years old, in the movie theaters, the top movies, the top money-making movies in the theaters are the superhero movies. Superhero movies, which I thought was pretty interesting they were going to bring that up. But these heroes are in comic books, television series, and budget movies. Movies are doing terrible out there from what I read from this article. But 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago, the biggest movie was Captain America, another superhero movie. Why? Why are superhero movies, why are they so popular? They're on lunchboxes, clothes, and toys. There's Superman, there's Hulk, there's Thor, Flash, Spider-Man. The question is, how have they become so popular? Well, in this study here, it says that they fill a void in people's lives, their stressful lives. People don't have as much confidence in this world anymore, it seems. They're an escape from reality, and people want to go there because they don't seem to be able to reach their goal that they have. I want to go back to Philippians 4:6. It says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Confidence is very hard to find in people while living a life of uncertainty. So many people are not sure if they're going to make it. And it causes stress in their life. It ultimately leads, some of it, to high anxiety. You may get a drink of water here too. Superheroes and actors and athletes and other people become substitutes for a diminished personal confidence. And this all has to do with anxiety, from what I understand. And it does make some sense to me. People stop believing they can accomplish because their focus is on people who seem to have it made in life. Look at superheroes. They're good looking. What you know about them, they're good looking, they're fit, they're wealthy. And then if you get into the movie part of it, they always fight against another superhero, and they always outsmart them, and they always come out in the end with a win. And that's what people like. We all want to accomplish things. We all want to do well at things. We all want to be happy in life. And that's what they seem to accomplish. But these same superheroes and athletes and athletes and politicians, my whole life, have never really been happy. See it all the time, and most of you already know that over the last four decades, what do they end up in? Drugs. Cheating on their spouses, drinking, fighting, hating Christians and Christ. And the list goes on. They have a lot of problems. They have a lot of anxiety in their life. There's a lot goes on in their lives, and they're turned upside down so many times. And so what I'm trying to say is anxiety is a stronghold on people, even the people that we put on a pedestal. They have the same problems we do. I want you to look at some heroes in the Bible. Turn to Psalm 20, if you would. Psalm 20. Verse 7 and 8, it says this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand up. I believe what this is saying here is this: people are putting their trust in this, the military of that day, the military to protect them and take care of them so they can live their lives like they want. But the Lord says this in here. He says, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. The wise put their trust in God. They don't put their trust in anyone else. We don't put our trust in superheroes. We don't put our trust in anyone but the Lord. We need to lean to the Lord in everything that we do. We should have a desire in our hearts to trust in God and have be thinking about the Lord and be in prayer about the Lord with the Lord while we're living in our daily lives. And I'll say this with confidence, God has always had a better idea than anybody in this world. In every kind of circumstance, you can always pray and ask God for help. Anxiety diminishes one's ability to trust, especially when it comes to trusting God. It also tells us, one is not convinced that Christ is good enough. And when we don't go to the Lord and we're trying to solve things in our own flesh, that's kind of what we're telling the Lord. Lord, I don't need you. I'm going to get this solved on my own. But the Bible says in everything, go to the Lord. We go to books, we listen to tapes, psychiatrists, and seek people for answers that have the same problems that we do, I met a pastor one time, and he simply said this. He said, Jeff, I'm going to show you something. And he pulled out these cards in his desk, and it said psychiatrist, his name, and it was in the same town he was at. He said, I give these to people when they come into the church, and most of them are not church members, and they need to talk to someone. And I try to give them biblical advice, and when I try to give them the biblical advice on how to help with their problems, because it's got to that point where they've got to talk to somebody, he says, I can look in their eyes and watch them and say, okay, they're not the least bit interested in making their life better. They just want to talk, but they don't want to walk the walk. Christian's confidence should be in the one who has always been super trustworthy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Anxiety involves feelings of uneasiness, nervousness, or worry. Remember this, David walked with God, but we also know at times he had bouts with anxiety. If you look at Psalms 32:2, and if you haven't been to the main service yet and you're going, you're going to hear the pastor talk a little bit about something like this. It says, David walked with God, but we know that David walked with God, but he also knew he had bouts of anxiety. And in Psalms 32:2, it says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, have sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? David was doing something very important here. He was pouring out his soul to the Lord. David's mind was in a bad place, and he was reaching out to the one that could help him. In Psalms 13:5, it says, but I trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. In Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. If we want to win battles in our life, folks, we must pour out our hearts to God. God invites us to unburden ourselves to him. Throw all your burdens the Lord's way, folks. Throw all your burdens his way. We live in a world, and that's the best advice you can give anybody when they're going through anything. And I've learned that the hard way. When I'm having hard times, or when I feel like I've let someone down, or I'm in a bad place, and I've got all these chores and all these things I know I need to get done, and the shingles blow off the house, and like they've been doing since I bought this house, and you always have to know, well, there goes another $150 to get repaired, and it's gonna get you going and stuff like that, and you got a lot of things going on in your mind. You know, as soon as you start doing that, you forget about God. You forget about your relationship with the Lord. And we need to take it to the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 is casting all your care upon him because he careth for you. The answer is simple. I want us to see that, but it is hard to do. Preachers don't have people come into their office because they're getting their problem solved by just simply not, they could get their problem solved simply doing this. everything in the Bible that I read always points out, just go and get your relationship right with the Lord. Your attitude will change about life. Your attitude will change about your spouse. Your attitude will change about your kids if you can just get your life right with the Lord. Proverbs 12:25 says, heaviness in a heart of man maketh it stoop, makes it depressed, makes it want to fall down. But a good word maketh it glad. And getting along with the Lord and reading His word and letting His word pick you up is very, very important. Anxiety needs to be taken to God. Hannah, over in Samuel 1:1, she had a little enemy there, Peninnah. And Peninnah was having children, and she couldn't have one. And she was stressed out. She was burdened to have a child. Well, who did she go to? She went to the Lord. She went to the Lord, and the Lord provided her a child, because every Jewish woman, I believe from what I understand and the way it looks, every Jewish woman wanted to have a child. That was the thing they wanted so bad. And also over in Esther chapter 4, the Jewish people found out that the king had decreed that all Jews could be killed. You can't tell me that they didn't have a little anxiety going on there, knowing that you're going to be destroyed. What if they made a decree in this country that says all Christians, it's okay to kill Christians? You're not going to jail if you kill Christians. That would be make us all a little bit worried, probably, for our families, our kids, our wives. But Esther, by faith, went to the king, declared her heritage, told him who she was and where she came from, and he stopped the decree. He'd stop the decree. Folks, if you can remember anything else this morning, remember this. This is your anxiety. This is your anxiety. But also remember, it doesn't take long to have family problems, finance problems, work, problems in life. It doesn't take you long to get to this place. You can get there in a heartbeat. As soon as you take your eyes off the Lord, as soon as you stop reading your Bible, as soon as you stop fellowshipping with Him, you can get to this level in your life. And the key is, when it does happen, run to the Lord. Run to the Lord. Find some place to get along with God. Have some prayer time. And ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to give you strength. And just keep reading the Word of God. He's the only one. You can go to anybody you want. You can talk all day if you want. But you need to get alone somewhere and just talk to the Lord. You've got to be determined every day to get up and say, look, I want to walk with the Lord. I want to have the attitude of the Lord. And you know what, wives? You'll do a lot better in your home. You'll be a lot happier in your home and the things you're responsible for. Men, you'll be a lot happier at work. You'll be able to handle the pressures that you have. Because in life now, as far as I know, from what I've learned and what I see, people out here in the business world are doing more with less. More with less. They can't get young people to work and things. They just make enough money to go somewhere and get some drugs. I had a lady throwing some stuff away the other day, and it was men's stuff, and it was pretty nice stuff. She was throwing it away, and she was crying. I went down there and said, ma'am, what's wrong? Said, my husband said we were going to work hard at making our lives right. And we went out and bought some new clothes and did a whole bunch of other stuff. And says, I'm just throwing this stuff away. I found it the other day laying in the garage, all busted up in drugs, on dope and everything. And their relationship is over with. It's over with. So we had a lot of problems, she told me. We had a lot of stress in our life. And she had no one to share Jesus with. To her, probably. She had no one to tell her that she needed to go to God and take care of that. And she's probably lost. I don't probably lost. It was a little busy, and I couldn't talk to her at that time because it was a Saturday. But folks, there's a lot of people out there that need help, and that's what they need. They need the Lord, and they need to, when they're having problems, if they're Christians, they need to go to the Lord. They need to go to Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God, and we thank You for the truths of God. Oh Lord, I'm so thankful for my salvation, but I also, dear Heavenly Father, know that at times the pressures of life can make us anxious. And when we get like that, dear Heavenly Father, we don't take it out on other people. We don't go after anyone, dear Heavenly Father. We need to run to a corner. We need to hide, and we need to talk to you and make things right with you and ask you to give us the strength that we need to get through problems. Now, Lord, I thank you for the folks listening to me, Lord. I'm sorry, dear Heavenly Father, that I have failed you at times. But I'm so thankful that we can ask you for forgiveness and we can move forward. So just be with each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, take some of this and maybe help a family member or a friend, people that are just in trouble and need, dear Heavenly Father. We have to turn to God and not people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.